I wonder, are you ready to sing for Christmas? If you're in the celebration choir, it's a bit late now because you started off last night. But it's that time of year when people who wouldn't normally murmur a note feel able to sing. Often they sing things that they don't necessarily believe. Santa Claus is coming to town. I'm not going to go any further because I don't want to be the headline grabber in the traditional Daily Record story about minister spoils Christmas by, you know the rest. And people sing carols without necessarily believing what they sing. But in Mary's case, we meet the woman who sang because the meaning of Christmas changed her life. Mary is perhaps the first person to grasp the meaning of Christmas as she responded to the angel's message. And initially, her response was one of doubt. How can this be? I'm a virgin. I can't have a child. How is this going to happen? And yet, later on in Luke chapter 1, we meet her responding with thanksgiving. Wow, look what God has done, is her response. Here is the real meaning of Christmas. And so we have the Magnificat, Mary's song. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear that phrase, that's the meaning of Christmas. And it'll be applied to all sorts of situations. When somebody does a good deed, when somebody gives to charity, when somebody perhaps spends Christmas Day serving Christmas dinner to the homeless, when somebody looks out for their neighbor, people say, ah, there you have it. That's the real meaning of Christmas. And while not wanting to demean any of those things, I would want to take issue. Because actually, what those are not the meaning of Christmas, but the result of Christmas. People do those things because fundamentally we're made in the image of God, and whenever we do good stuff, that's in a sense the image of God at work in us. So people respond generously, often without knowing it, because they're made in God's image. But the real meaning of Christmas was expressed by Mary in the Magnificat, and it can perhaps be summed up in these words, God's only child became human so that humans can become God's children. That's at the heart of what the real meaning of Christmas is. And it's from that that acts of generosity can flow. It's from that we are enabled to do good for our neighbor. And the problem is that if you do nice stuff, and you think that's the meaning of Christmas, well then your capacity for niceness runs out at about the 6th of January, if you're really good, maybe about the 2nd for most of us. But actually, if your life has been turned upside down in the way that Mary's was, the capacity for generosity, for goodness, for care, shouldn't end on the 2nd or the 6th of January or whatever date, but goes on right throughout the year. Why? Because our lives have been turned upside down. Because the Christ child, the Messiah, has come into our lives and turned us upside down. And so we look at what Mary expresses in her thankfulness as she comes to grips with what the real meaning of Christmas is. And she expresses, firstly, something about the character of God. This is what God is like. The opening verses of the Magnificat concentrate on the mighty God. Remember, last week we were thinking about how singing and how music teaches us and how words from a hymn can make an imprint that other words often don't. And so as you hear the mighty God, perhaps you've got Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah chorus, just ringing round your brain. The words from Isaiah chapter 9. The mighty God. And that's who we encounter at Christmas in the Christ child, the mighty God. One of the ironies is that many people who profess to be religious from all sorts of religions say, yep, I can believe in a deity of some description, but I can't believe in a deity that would become human. That's just taking it too far. The problem with that is they don't really believe in a mighty God then. They don't believe that God is big enough to decide to become human if he wants to. Mary recognizes the God without limits, the one who became flesh, the one who threw stars into space, whose hands would be to cruel nails surrendered. So Mary encounters the mighty God, and then she meets the holy God. Holiness is one of those difficult words where we kind of have an idea what it means but aren't really sure. Holiness is what distinguishes God from humans. Yes, we're made in God's image, but God is also totally different. And one of the ways in which God is totally different is his absolute inability to get used to sin. All of us get used to the stuff that's wrong in the world. We get used to injustice. We get used to our own failures. And we say, that's the way of the world. And one of the things that distinguishes God from us is his absolute refusal to become used to sin. And so we have the holy God revealed. Mary meets with this holy God. And so now we're left with a problem, because there's a mighty God and there's a holy God. And many religions can deal with that. But it leaves us with the problem of, what can we do? We know that we live in a sinful world, and try as we might, we do become used to that. And God refuses to become used to that, so that leaves the unbridgeable gap. And that's where we encounter the merciful God. Mary gives thanks for God's mercy. He has been merciful to his servant. God, holy, mighty, and yet merciful. And so at the heart of Christmas, we have God's solution to that problem of his might, his holiness, his absolute intolerance of sin, and a world turned upside down by sin, and yet his absolute love for that world. And so Mary encounters the merciful God. As she reflects on the character of God, she thinks about what he has done, and her first thing is that God has done personal stuff for her. God has remembered your servant. Me, an ordinary woman, and God remembers me. Because God has turned things upside down. The rich get richer. The powerful become more powerful. Those who have plenty of stuff will acquire even more. That's the way of the world. And yet, God turns that upside down. Rulers sent away empty-handed. The hungry fed. God turns the world upside down. And that's one of the reasons that actually people like us, people in the Western world, find the gospel difficult. In our comfortable, Burnside, reasonably stable life, the gospel is a difficult thing, because it says, actually, you, predominantly white, middle class, whatever, you have all the aces, and so you don't see your need for God. And God says, I turn that upside down. And so the gospel grows and thrives in places where people haven't got two pennies to rub together, where meals are a premium. It's not a surprise to God that the poorer parts of the world are where the gospel is most readily accepted. Why? Because he has always turned things upside down. And when he sent his son to Mary, an ordinary, humble, underage woman, as opposed to sending him to go and live in Herod's palace, that message was, here is a God who turns the pattern of the world upside down. So God has turned things upside down, and he has kept his promises. Mary remembers that actually she's the beneficiary of promises made to Abraham centuries before. She's the beneficiary of God's word to the prophets right throughout the centuries since Abraham. And so as she celebrates the fact that she is to be the mother of the Messiah, she celebrates the God who keeps his promises. The God who says, yes, I said it would happen, and so of course it will happen. I said I'll be with you, so when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. I said I won't leave you or forsake you, so no, you're not alone. God who keeps his promises. And so Mary celebrates because of what God has done. Mary sings out the Christmas message. What is the meaning of Christmas? It's that a mighty, holy God is also merciful. It's that God turns things upside down and says, no, actually, it doesn't have to be the way of the world. It's that God keeps his promises. Too far? Hardly. And so Mary is impelled. And the question that she asks is, when all of this is happening, how can I keep from singing? How could I respond with anything but thankfulness? And so Mary's life is turned upside down because God has turned the world upside down. And at Christmas, the question that we need to ask ourselves again is, are our lives turned upside down by God? Are we willing to let him turn our lives upside down? Or do we say, no, I would rather have you just as a wee add-on to the way my life is just now? If our lives are turned upside down, we won't be able to help ourselves but sing. And so we will bellow out, hark the herald angels sing. And O little town of Bethlehem. And all of the favorites. Not just because, it's nice, we get a nice Christmas buzz. But because we can't help ourselves. We can't stop singing. And if we're tuneless, that's all right. God hears it and kind of edits what he hears. And hears us all as glorious sopranos and basses. Why? Because we bring a song of praise. Because God has turned our lives upside down. And so this Christmas, sing on. Maybe let Andrew sing a wee bit louder than the rest of us, but sing on in celebration. Because God has done great things for us. How can we do anything else but say thank you? Thank you to our great God. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that you, the mighty, holy God, are also merciful. we thank you for what you have done. And we join with Mary in celebration and in singing. How can we do anything but say thank you? Thank you that you have turned the world upside down. And that doesn't stop outside of us, but it has happened inside of us. May we live as people whose lives have been turned upside down in the name of Jesus, because Jesus has come. Amen.